December 31st, 2021, interviewing Karen Brooks, continuing the conversation. And so you said you had to take this middle path in order to survive and thrive and be who you really were. Your life would have turned out differently.
Yeah, I think it would have, because on my father's side, I saw how the traumas of their lives as a child, but it was in the closet. You didn't talk about it either, although they all went to church and, you know, were on the outside, very normal people. My mother's people they showed their unhealthiness on the outside, but they also didn't talk about it. I was very curious in what God was all about, so I studied from the time I was very, very young, very interested.
So here we are now with reams of statistics on historical, intergenerational, and epigenetic trauma and how this manifests in our culture and with addiction and chronic illness and even, say, our different rates and statistics. So how can plant medicine and traditional healing support recovery?
Just the fact of going outside, learning the plants and how they live with other plants and the wonder and beauty of this earth. It is an amazing place because it's not just the plants, it's the smell of the earth. It's watching the animals and the birds and their relationship to the plants, because we're all connected. Plants, animals, birds, all beings here on earth are connected.
You have a beautiful relationship with all living things, and thank you for sharing and helping us understand. Can you share how you communicate with plants before you harvest them? What's your protocol?
Well, I always say a prayer before I even get to where the plants are. And then I ask the plant, you know, I ask, can I come and pick you? Can, you know, is it okay? Are you ready? And then the plants just show me which ones I can pick. I always leave plants. I don't take all the plants.
You take, like in our family, we harvest less than a quarter of what's present. Leave the rest for others and animals. Has a plant said no, you cannot harvest it?
Yeah, it has.
And so you move on.
Move on, yeah. It's like we're gardeners of the earth. You know, we're sort of pruning and picking plants for Mother Earth, I think. You don't pick it all. You just kind of sort it out so that more can grow.
And as you move through the berry patch or the plant patch, pick a little here, pick a little there. You cover more ground. You have more nature to see and experience as you move through the landscape.
Oh, yeah. And you treat them like they were in your garden. Because they are in your garden, ultimately. You know, you just go out there and it's your garden.
That's so beautiful. When I was young, we moved some plants closer to the house.
Yes, to see if they would grow. And surprisingly, they do grow. And yeah, they
many
do.
Plants transplant well. It's very nice to have my favorite traditional plant medicines close to my home, so I don't have to travel so far.
Right. Yeah. When I'm really old, that would be nice, you know, just step out into the yard and go pick whatever plant I need. And because we were nomadic people, that's what we did. We just went and picked what we needed. We didn't store a whole lot. Although we did store, I'm finding out, but not massive amounts.
Right, we didn't travel with all that we stored
No,
all the time,
no,
right? We
no.
had different
Although some
camps.
plants like juniper, they would leave buried in the snow, and when they needed to use juniper berries for coughs and severe problems, they knew where they were, so they'd go dig them up and take the medicine. It was like natural environment to keep preserve them until they were needed.
And so in the past, traditionally, families knew many, many plants. We knew all the edible plants and all of those plants where they were in the landscape, where to find them. This is how we thrived and sustained ourselves in the Arctic. And then not all Alaska Natives were medicine people. And so the medicine people would have special plants.
Correct.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, knowledge between indigenous people, I believe, was passed from tribe to tribe. I think we were connected with the tribes in Australia via journeying. I think the information for special plants, especially vision plants, was shared and known with the medicine people.
And then there's this story I've heard around a medicine person could have 20 plants that they worked with, or they could even have only one plant, and that one plant did everything that they needed to heal.
That's correct. They would have a plant ally, and that plant would, tell them. It was like having a twin in your head, I guess, that a very intimate connection with that plant.
And that's private information. It's often the medicine people are not going to tell you what that plant is. We have those plants to this day. We have plant allies. We have plant helpers. And that is sacred information.
It is because people, as a rule, really don't pay attention to the power and the properties of what plant medicine is, and therefore can harm themselves. In fact, can die from overdosing on plant medicine. You have to have knowledge. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have that intimate connection with the plant and know how to properly use it for whatever is going on in the body.
And this is plants as, what we would say, oh, we can go to Fred Meyer's and buy a chamomile, nettle, yarrow tea, and it's in a very specific tea bag size, and it's 1 teaspoon of dried herb. But if you go out into the landscape here in Alaska, pick Alaska yarrow, you could overdo it on too much yarrow, where it could be very drying to your body.
And that's why there's medicine people, because they are born to do that. From the time they're very, very young, they have this interest and they follow their dream. And indigenous cultures always honored that child for they honored every child for what they were gifted with. And that is the key. You gift everyone is gifted with what they know, and you allow that gift to grow, and you allow it by watering it and being, it's a tender little gift, like a tender little plant coming out of the ground. You nurture it, you support it, you keep it fed, and it will indeed fruit and be an amazing being.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for bringing up these cautions and contraindications with plant medicine that we've shared some, over the last 2 days, we shared a lot of external applications, making oils for pain and inflammation. When it comes to making plant medicine for internal application, do your research, do your studies, talk with elders, read the books, have living teachers, seek them out.
Be very cautious about what you put in your mouth. But also, the medicine that grows up here is way more powerful than the medicine you buy in the tea bag. You don't know how long that's been sitting there, and you don't know where it was harvested at. You do know where it's harvested if you do it yourself. And the potency is way better.
There's intention, there's prayer, there's the landscape that you've harvested from here. That's also part of the vibrational medicine of the plant.
And after I'm done, I always leave a gift. I feed the earth, you know, be it leftovers from the lunch I brought or water that I have brought. I don't need it when I leave, so I will leave some. I'll leave a part as my gift and in my thanks for that plant being there.
And Alaska Natives, American Indians, Indigenous people who have been born with these gifts of sensitivity, of healing, of traditional medicine, we're really blessed right now to have access to living teachers, elders, and then opportunities to study at university in different fields that support our traditional healing and ethnomedicine histories. And so we can practice in this world as a traditional healer. We can go on and have education and Western herbalism, ethnobotany, naturopathy, homeopathy, body work.
And there's pockets of people all over the place that their family has maybe one or two plants that they never stopped using. And if you are lucky enough to meet a family like that, pay attention to how they use it. Ask questions, because maybe that isn't in a book yet. And because that's a recent thing.
And like Mom said yesterday, leave a gift. When you spend time with a traditional healer, culture bearer, you know, plan in advance to share in exchange for that knowledge and wisdom and time. Just visiting with a traditional healer is healing.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, they have a lot on their mind, and they're always doing something for somebody. And so, you know, I can think of an elder that I am just sewing furs, and that's healing in itself. And I had to make an appointment with her, and she was very clear about I could only ask one question. So I would really think very, very hard and ask a couple of questions in my one question. But I always brought a gift for her.
And what was her name?
Sally Hudson. And she was known for her beautiful parkas. I learned how to skin sew and do beadwork at the Baskin style in the 70s. And she was a very good teacher and an amazing skin sewer.
And that is how I learned to skin sew, is you learned to skin sew and taught me. And I was a very warm child. I had beaver hat, gloves, and mukluks.
That's right, because we lived in the land of cold. It was cold. So honor your elders.
Do you have anything you'd like to share before we close?
Oh, I can't think of anything except for the journey to self-healing is to acknowledge that we're all broken in some way and we're all connected on this planet, and we're all worthy.
Beautiful. Thank you.